ISC is presented to you by Dark Hawk Nutrition. Dark Hawk Nutrition is the next evolution in sports supplements. Their pre-workout, protein, creatine, and other products are produced in FDA-approved facilities, third-party tested for quality, and are guaranteed clean. Use code IMPACT for 15% off of your entire selection at darkhawknutrition.com. That is code IMPACT for 15% off of your entire order at darkhawknutrition.com. What up? Thank you so much for tuning in to the debut episode here of Backwards K Baseball. I am your host, Chris Asbrock, and I'm joined by my esteemed podcast side piece and co-host, Scott Kaiser. Scott, my man, how are you doing on this amazing Monday night?
Not bad. Ready to talk some baseball, my friend. How's it going?
Hey, you know what? I can't complain. Cannot complain. So, this is the debut episode of Backwards K Baseball. Again, I am Chris Asbrock. I guess background real quick, you know, before we get into it, I do stuff for Impact Sports Cincinnati. That is kind of like my, podcast / blog brand. You can check everything out at iscincy.com. But huge baseball guy, grew up playing baseball. Like I said, if you caught the my guest appearance last week with the guys from Craft Brewed Sports, you saw that, you know, when I had mentioned that, you know, hey, I live and die with baseball, eat, sleep, you know, drink it, breathe it, everything, you know, got friends in the game, grew up playing it, like I said, all that kind of stuff. And I just need an outlet to talk baseball. And I've got one here with Scott and, man, I couldn't be any more thankful to have this platform that we have here. So, Scott, before we get going, let's hear a little bit about yourself, my man.
Well, and those of you who have seen or heard me before on Craft Brewed Sports, welcome to the newest addition to our little Craft Brewed Sports family. This is, as Chris mentioned, Backwards K Baseball, and we're just going to talk ball, man. Chris and I have become good friends over the last couple years, and a lot of that has to do because of baseball. Our sons play Little League together. We coach on the same team. That's how we've gotten to know each other a lot. But, I mean, really, it's just our love of the game just kind of shine through. And every time we talked, it's about baseball, and every time we get real hyped up, it's about baseball. And so we figured, you know, just like with Craft Brewed Sports and me and Mike, hey, why the hell don't we sit down and record our thoughts and talk about ball on camera? So we figured we can do it just as good as any other idiots out there. Why not give it a shot? So here we are. We're glad you guys can be along for the ride. We are going to talk, you know, baseball at all levels. Chris is more, you know, he's more all ball. It doesn't matter what level it is. I'm more of a pro guy, and I dabble in, you know, the college game a little bit, but Chris is the go-to on those sorts of things more, and especially at a more local level. But again, we both love baseball so much that it doesn't really matter as long as it's baseball being played. I mean, I can talk about it at any level, but where I follow is mostly pro. So we're going to give you a little bit of taste of everything. Not much super structured, but we're going to have a good time. We're going to have fun. Going to hit you with some of the news and insight, but a lot of times, if you've watched Craft Brewed Sports, we're just going to sit around and bullshit. So hope
you're damn right.
You guys enjoy, and like I said, we're here to have a good time and talk ball.
Like I said, and I've been saying it all along, come for the jackassery, stay for the baseball talk, man. That's what this is all about. So let's get into that jackassery here. MLB offseason. So Major League Baseball is, I would say, one of the best sports let me rephrase that, best professional sports when it comes to the off season and keeping their fan base involved at all times. And there's nothing better after the baseball season ends. A couple weeks after that, you've got the winter meetings. And that is, you know, that is just an incredible time. Well, we thought it was going to be incredible this year, but it turned out to be a big dud, which we will get into here in a little bit. But it will be off season. I mean, there was so much hype for the big name free agents out there. You had Otani, you had Yoshi, you had obviously Bellinger, you had JD Martinez, Jordan Montgomery, Blake Snell. There's a ton of guys out there that I'm, you know, obviously, you know, missing, but this is the time now leading up to it. Again, this is March 4th. We are full blown in the swing of things in spring training, and there are still some guys that are available. But in terms of the free agents that have signed, I mean, you saw Shohei Ohtani go to the Dodgers. That was a – let's be real. It was expected. Now, I'm wearing the Blue Jays hoodie here. You know, if you saw me on Craft Brewed Sports, like I said last week, you know, it came out. Obviously, I'm a big Reds fan here in Cincinnati, but huge Jays fan as well. Ohtani to the Jays. That was the, you know, the train wreck situation that one after Saturday afternoon where, oh God, Ohtani's, you know, he's on a flight headed to Toronto. And then it was just, you know, it went sideways just like that to where he signs with the Dodgers for $700 million, you know, in a contract that is all deferred. So then you have guys like Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who signs with the Dodgers as well. You know, just the big money that has been thrown around in terms of the off season. And we had, like I said, there's a bunch of the big guys that have signed, bunch of guys out there that have not signed yet. Scott, what are your thoughts so far on the, well, it's not really the off season now, but what we saw just, you know, literally before, you know, spring training kicked off.
It was a long off season, but that's because all baseball off seasons are long to me. It was pretty interesting the way things started. You know, we had the Ohtani stuff, as you mentioned. There was all sorts of interest this year, and not only Ohtani, but also all of the imports coming over from both Korea and Japan and whatnot. A lot of names thrown around, but you know, Yamamoto and Shohei were the biggest names to be out there, and both ended up on the same team. But you know, it was a weird off season in that everything seemed like it was going to be exciting, got started really quickly, and then we hit this wall. And those two signed, other things kind of trickled in, and then we sat here for the last month or so watching as four of the bigger names on this free agent class sat without jobs. In fact, up until just a couple of days ago with Matt Chapman, you know, there were four of them that didn't look like maybe they'd have a job before the start of the season. So now we're down to three, and they all happen to be Boris clients. And if you know anything about professional baseball and follow the game, then you know who Scott Boris is. And it's safe to say that Chris and I aren't huge fans of Scott Boris, putting it lightly. But his guys are still sitting out there around now. Today, the reports that, you know, he's out there saying that teams are getting desperate and that teams have called and checked in on his guys. We'll see. But, you know, I'm glad the offseason's over. I don't particularly care whether or not the rest of the guys that Boris represents end up on a team. But that's sometimes how it goes. I mean, eventually these guys will all be playing baseball. But when that happens, not too much of a concern of mine because they're not going to end up on the Braves, and that's my team. So I don't know. I can't care less about them.
Well, I see now that I understand. So, again, you were talking about Matt Chapman. Now, Chapman was – he was the best third baseman available. Now, we're going to talk about the Boris clients here. There was a tweet that came out from Dan Clark just the other day. I'm going to read it here. And this is – the four big Boris clients, so Matt Chapman, Cody Bellinger, Blake Snell, and JD Martinez. So, again, Scott and I, you know, we truly enjoy the fact that Scott Boris has taken L's on this. Now, when it comes to I'm going to kind of go off, you know, a little bit here on a tangent before I address this tweet. But Scott Boras is as good of a job as he does at getting his guys paid, which he did. I want to say, was it 2 years ago where he alone had, it was like, I want to say it was like almost $1 billion in clients or something like that, just a couple years ago or something along those lines. But he is what's bad for baseball. Now I say that because if you are a football fan, you remember Drew Rosenhaus. Drew Rosenhaus, before, I would say, what, last decade, was he was an absolute piece of trash agent. Nobody wanted to, you know, to work with Drew. And I think Drew realized that. And I got to give Drew Rosenhaus props because you don't hear about him anymore. So, you know, Drew Rosenhaus, again, would cause all these problems for these teams, again, where nobody wanted to work with him and you know, take on his clients. Now, it seems like that might be the kind of what we're seeing here with Scott Boras. Boras is known to he will flat out hold his guys out until, I mean, hell, the All-Star break. He could care less. He wants his guys to get paid. Scott Boras also has to realize he works for the player. That's what it comes down to. It's not the other way around. And that's what is seemingly the issue here. He works for the players. And that's where also the players, depending on the situation, they need to step up and say, Scott, get me signed. It's March 4th. We are weeks into spring training. We have real baseball coming up in like 25 days, where opening day is that it's that close. Come on, get me signed. Like that also has to happen here. But, you know, again, Boras is notorious for overvaluing his clients. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but when you're taking L's like he has so far this, you know, this offseason, you know, Matt Chapman, for example, just signed with the Giants for $54 million. He was seeking 150 plus this offseason. Now, me being a Jays fan, dude wasn't worth 150 plus. He declined a 100 plus million dollar offer from the Jays right at the beginning of the offseason. He turned that down. And now look at it. That's the madness that we see from, you know, Boras' client, Cody Bellinger, seeking 200 plus million. Signs for 80 million with the Cubs. Even the Cubs were like, nah, we're good. We're not going to touch it. And he's got Blake Snell out there now who's seeking 300 plus million for Blake Snell. I mean, Blake Snell has had two good seasons, and that's it. And granted, he won the Cy Young those 2 years, but you never know what you're going to get from Blake Snell. So is that dude worth 300 million? Not a chance. You know, he declined 168 million from the Yankees. He's still out there. I mean,
yeah, I was going to just say that I have a long-standing hateful relationship with Scott Boras, mostly because, as you mentioned, similar to Rosenhaus, that you know, they make it about themselves. They put themselves above the game, and I get it. You know, I've always wanted players to be paid by these organizations. I don't, you know, I'm not a fan of organizations cheaping out on the players and not giving them what they deserve. But there's also got to be this middle ground where the players have to realize their value and understand their worth. And it, as you mentioned, it's up to them and to a certain degree to make sure that their agent knows, like, hey, look, I want to play baseball. And if you're out to get your money, that's fine. But understand that teams just don't have to deal with you if they don't want to. And I think that's what we've seen over the past 4 months is that teams and organizations finally got to the point. And I think statistics and data is such that it got to the point that you can look at all these things and not be fooled by the Cy Young trophies that Blake Snell has in his hardware case or any of the accolades that these guys get on an individual level. Because once you start breaking things down and you go underneath the hood, these guys aren't worth the money that they're asking for. And so while that may have worked at a time when we didn't have analytics and we didn't have all the stats that we do now, it's time for Scott to figure things out, you know, to make sure that these, because this offseason, I don't think that it's necessarily going to tarnish his reputation amongst players for the most part, but there's got to be some players that are out there watching this all unfold that, and maybe pausing to themselves if they're thinking about changing representation and they were considering Scott Boras, or they're coming in the league and they, you know, are seeing what's going on. I mean, it would give me hesitation. I know he's got a long track record and everything's been good for the most part, but if teams are going to stop just, you know, going to a certain point with him or with his agents, it's going to start costing these guys.
1,000%. And as a player, like you said, you're all for these guys getting paid. I mean, again, Scott, you work for the player, you know, so these guys, again, have to, you know, they've also got to step up and say something as well, because, you know, it's, again, he's got that reputation for, like I said, of getting his guys paid. But if it's going to cost me half of a season to, and then I'm going to end up taking a ton less, you know, it's just, to me, it's not worth it. And that's the problem there. And, you know, and Scott doesn't seem to realize that. And you said it perfect that he does. It's all about him, and it's not. I mean, he makes it all about him, you know, where he's holding court, you know, at the winter meetings. I sent you that picture of the media scrum around him, and you were just like, what a total douche. And I was like, yeah, I mean.
Well, yeah, because again, it's not about, or it shouldn't be about Scott Boras, but every time you turn around, that's the headline. The, you know, the Boras Four, they call him, and, you know, his name tends to be more well known just to some average baseball fans than some of his own clients. I mean, he's got tons of clients across the sport, and you wouldn't even know, but you know who Scott Boras is.
Exactly. Exactly. And it sucks for some of these guys, because a guy like Blake Snell, you know, as a pitcher, he needs to be in camp. I mean, plain and simple, dude's got to be in camp. And
well, we got some people chiming in the comments about Barr saying that agents in baseball screw their clients way more often than any other sport. Eventually, teams turn off the spigot. But as fans, if your team cheaps out on players, where are you going to go?
Well played, Matthew. I like that. I like that. Where are you going to go?
Which is a very good point.
Yeah. And that's true, though. Still,
I'm kind of glad that teams are kind of taking a hard stance on these guys. I mean, because at the end of the day, it's a team sport, and no matter how good his clients may be, they're not going to win a championship by themselves. And in this instance, with these four specific guys, when we're talking about Chapman, Bellinger, Snell, and Montgomery, they're not at the highest end of the profession. Like, they're B and C tier guys as far as like superstar level, and yes, they will help you win games. Yes, they're good players, but I think that's part of the hesitation, is that they're not paying, teams don't want to pay this money because this crop was weak. And after Ohtani and Yamamoto were off the market, where teams were like falling over themselves to pay money for those guys, I mean, why would you settle for some of these guys that are left over? Like, especially if you don't trust the data that you're seeing. So I'm kind of glad that the teams have wisened up. And in my case, I'm glad the Braves aren't in on any of these guys. I don't want to be worried about having to sign any of them. It's fine with me.
Yeah. And I mean, same with, you know, here in Cincinnati too, the Reds, you know, the moves the Reds made, phenomenal. And I mean, they did a great job of, you know, of bringing in guys that get the job done. They don't have to go to the, you know, to the top part of, you know, of the free agency market. And they didn't, and good on them. But a team like the Rangers, defending World Series champs, you know, Montgomery, he needs to come back there. He's the perfect fit for Texas. He wants to go back. Make it happen. Like, it's not difficult. That's what I don't understand. And that's the frustrating part about it. Like, for example, to me, Cody Bellinger, perfect fit in Toronto. He was the perfect fit in Toronto. And you know, you look at what they did, you know, they're like, well, we're not going to sit here and wait around and pay that much money for Cody Bellinger. Instead, they could have gotten for $80 million if that's what it was going to be. Matt Chapman would have been a perfect fit to come back there. But what did Toronto do? They pivoted and went with Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Really? But, you know, they turned off the spigot, like, you know, like Matthew was saying in that comment. Like, that's what teams have to start doing. You got to put your foot down, you know, to really show, you know, an agent like Scott Boras, like, you know what, screw you. That's not how this works.
Although I'll ask, the fuck are the Jays doing? What the hell is their offseason been? Because it's been kind of embarrassing when you look at the fact that they were thinking they were going to sign the biggest free agent of all time and instead have sampled from the poo-poo platter like the rest of the offseason. They've done next to nothing. And, I mean, you bring up Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. That's like the biggest name that they brought in this offseason, which is kind of sad based on the fact that they were in the playoffs the last couple of years. They seemingly were only a couple of pieces away. And now, like, what are they, second, third, maybe even fourth best in that division?
I don't like your attitude. Like, that's – we're not going to, you know, for a first episode, we're not going to do this shit, man. We're not doing it.
I needed to mix things up just a little bit, man. It's getting too comfy in here. I got to ask.
It was. You're right. I mean, now I'm kind of – now I'm a little fired up now.
I got
to
ask.
To answer your question?
On a truthful note, the Blue Jays have had a very confusing offseason.
And they're owned by Rogers Communications, the largest communications, you know, company in the freaking country of Canada, for God's sakes. They're one of the largest media conglomerates in the world, and you can't spend money. Now, going into the offseason, it was said that they had two budgets. They had a unicorn budget for Ohtani, where they were going to literally go all in. And then they had just a regular budget, which I don't even know if we're seeing the regular budget, to be honest with you. And that's what's puzzling. You know, another team that's really puzzling in terms of, you know, before we, you know, move on to the free agent part, the Seattle Mariners. What are they doing? A team that is like right there. Because let's be real, the American League West, to me, it's wide open still. Houston, yeah, they're going to be good. They're going to be there again. And you have the defending World Series champions in Texas. But, I mean, that's still a division that Seattle can rise up and take with the pitching staff they have. I mean, so it's – but their issue is the, you know, the television revenue and all that gong show that we experienced, you know, with the regional sports networks. I just, you know, I don't get it, man. I truly don't get it.
Well, I mean, you said that we sat here and talk about the guys that are unsigned, but let's talk about the guys that are actually signed. I mean, look, I'm no Dodgers fan, and I could give two shits about what happens to the franchise or anything along those lines. But from just a exciting standpoint, like, I thought it was kind of awesome that Yamamoto and Ohtani ended up on the same team. Just the two of them. Like, again, the rest of the team, I could care less. But I am curious to see how that dynamic plays out. I know we won't be seeing Ohtani pitch till next year because of the surgery. But I am super excited to see Yamamoto pitch, because the only time I've seen him pitch at all was in the World Baseball Classic. And it was so briefly, I didn't really pay enough attention to fully appreciate how good of a pitcher he's supposed to be. So besides those two signings, are there any other signings that happened in this offseason that you're excited to see how it plays out for the new teams?
Yeah, I would say the one that, as much as I hate it because I don't like the Astros, the Josh Hader signing. That is an interesting one to me, to go to Houston, because now you move. Brain cramping on the Brian closer. Preston. Yeah,
yeah.
You're moving him to the eighth inning because Hader won't go out of the ninth, and that's it. Like, what that does? I mean, Because you have a Verlander who's another year older. I mean, they've got some sick talent on that team, obviously. It's the Houston Astros. But that Hader sign to see, like, what if things don't go as well in the ninth inning? He blows a couple saves here and there. What does that do? You know, do you make the move and pulling him out and moving Presley back into the ninth, you know, the ninth inning?
No. You're paying Hader the money. He's going to be the closer. You ignore whatever happens. I mean, if for whatever
reason. Shut the hell up then. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right.
I mean, if for whatever reason he has a streak like he did when he first got to San Diego and things kind of went south there for a little while, even the Padres didn't pull him out of the roll. Like, you don't spend the money on the guy and then, I mean, it would have to go horrifically bad for them.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a good thing to have Presley as, you know, the backup plan, the 1B in that situation. But I don't think there's any way that they're going to mess with Hader. I kind of think he's already a little bit of a head case the way he acted in San Diego. So, now that he's got his money, the last thing I would want to do is upset him even further. And potentially, you know, ruin that dynamic for how many years did they end up signing him for?
Five and 95.
Yeah. You don't want at the beginning of this relationship for things to go south because you got cute with pulling out. Plus it's a new manager. It's not anymore. So I don't think that there's any concern in Houston for either Presley or Hader. For their roles to be switching. Presley knows what he's going to do. Abreu before them knows what he's going to do. And then Hader will be there to clean things up.
Yeah. The other move real quick, Shota Imanaga to the Cubs. When I saw him in the World Baseball Classic, dude was solid, but Japanese pitchers are definitely, they're interesting to watch in the first year or two. Because that's when, you know, teams really don't know much about them. But then these dudes adjust. And let's be real, when these guys adjust, there's a reason why they're in the majors. And, you know, because they can hit. But if Imanaga is the guy that the Cubs signed, you know, gave him the money, you know, that's going to be a huge move, you know, for Chicago. And that could help them. You know, definitely compete for a division title, and an NL Central that is definitely wide open. But you know, I think that's a move that's one to definitely keep an eye on as you know as the season progresses. Because you know, if he's not what you know Chicago expected, that's going to be interesting to see how you know how he adjusts as well. You know, in terms of how you know kind of to counteract how the you know, how the hitters, you know, adjust to him.
Yeah, I'm curious to see some of the Korean players that come over. You got Jung-Hoo Lee in San Francisco, what's the closer's name there? And Matsui in San Diego. I'm kind of curious to see some of the guys that weren't as, you know, didn't have the notoriety because of Imanaga and Ohtani and whatnot. But they in their own right, based off some of what I've read and you know the reports, like they have distinguished careers in the KBO and they should come over here and play pretty well right away. So it'll be interesting to see how those moves work out for those teams too. It's not just the biggest names that that should have some impact in the upcoming season and moving forward.
Completely agree. What's the most underrated move we've seen so far this year?
I'm going to go homer with this one. I think the Chris Sale trade. I think any other year that Chris Sale was traded, it would be a huge deal. I know he's been injury prone since he went to Boston and it seemingly can't stay healthy no matter what they've done to preserve him. It's been one freak injury after another. But for the Braves to have gotten him for Vaughn Grissom and a Coke and a Smile, I think it's a pretty solid move. I mean, even if he's injured, you know, again, this important, I fully expect that he'll spend some time either being managed because he's hurt or straight just put on the IL to preserve him. As long as he's there in September, that's all that really matters. But I love that move. So assuming he's available when they need him most in September, it'll probably be one of the better moves of the offseason.
That, hands down, is the most underrated move. And, I mean, he was one that I think just needed a change of scenery as well. Because, I mean, let's be real. Since he got to Boston, it hasn't gone, you know, as smoothly as, you know, as I would imagine he had hoped. But, man, you go to Atlanta, and it's – I mean, the pressure's not really on you. I mean, you've got some dudes in that rotation, and all you've got to do is just go out and pitch every fifth day. I mean, just – and you don't have to be Strider. You know, you don't have to be him. Good on, you know, again, Alex Anthopoulos. You know, when he was in Toronto, I absolutely loved it because the dude is just – he's awesome. And I say it to you all the time. It's like, you know, when the Braves were making the moves there, I told you how much I love AA. I mean, that guy is – he's not afraid. And that's
– best GM in all of baseball.
Hands down, he is. Hands down, he is. And I was so bummed when Toronto, when they parted ways with him. And I'm like, what are you doing? But, you know, again, he gets the job done, and it's a move like that that's going to bring in a Chris Sale who, I mean, a change of scenery, like I said, is going to do him wonders. And it's only going to make the Braves even better, which is freaking scary. You know, again, come September, if he's fully healthy and available, good luck, because, you know, now you got to face that lineup in a rotation that has Chris Sale in it that's not – and he's not your ace. Enjoy that. My God.
Well, I'm getting back into the comments. Friend of Kraft Root Sports Biscuit mentions that one of the biggest signings wasn't a player this offseason. He believes there's Craig Counsell to manage the Cubs. He loves Rossi, but saying that he was a bad manager. And that's something that I've heard a few times. Got quite a few close friends that are Cubs fans. And obviously you jump at the chance to get a Craig Counsell as your manager pretty much, I don't, you know, of all 30 teams would probably take that opportunity, right? I mean, each team has, you know, the upper echelon teams probably have managers that they wouldn't necessarily punt on. But given the opportunity, just about any club in baseball would take a Craig Counsell. What did you think about how that whole thing went down? Because Counsell was essentially a free agent after he stepped down from Milwaukee. Reports were basically that he was headed to New York. The new general manager for the Mets had worked for the Brewers. It's pretty much a done deal. And then all of a sudden, I was the one breaking the news to my Cubs fans' friends that Counsell had signed in Chicago. Like, how big of a move is that for the NL Central?
yeah, I hate the Cubs, obviously. Red, I mean, but in all fairness, I think they did David Ross wrong. I disagreed with the way that was handled. Now, granted, you get a chance to get, you know, Craig Counsell, you do it, and I understand. But again, I wasn't a fan of how it went down. It seemed dirty to me. And I think towards the end, I mean, again, I'm not, you know, a huge Cubs fan, but it's one of those things to where I think towards the end, it didn't seem like they did enough to help David Ross out anyway. You know, the team, the Cubs that have all this money, they didn't seemingly go out and do much. And that's what kind of, you know, from the outside.
Yeah, I don't know. They spent quite a bit of money last off season.
No, they did, but did they put it in the right spot though?
I was just going to say. Whether or not they spent it correctly is another story, but that's not Craig's fault, or not Craig. No. That's not Ross's fault.
That's right? What I'm saying. That's my point. Is like, that's okay, what I feel you. That they didn't, you know, they did him dirty in terms of, yeah, they spent the money, but to me, they didn't do it in the right spots. And at that point, again, it's not fair, you know, to him. Was it time to move on? Probably. And again, if you got a chance to get Craig Counsell, my God, you do it. I mean, I probably, like I said, I would have handled it probably a little different as opposed to just kicking his ass right out the door and saying, oh, hey, Craig, come on in. You know, but they did. But that is going to be a good move. But again, what have they done this offseason, though? Bellinger, okay. Imanaga, okay, but they haven't done more. And to me, they needed to do more.
Are you sure they needed to do more in the NL Central, though? I mean, that division's kind of up for grabs now, isn't it? No more Corbin Burns at the top. The Brewers have taken a step back. The Reds are still finding their way. The Cubs, I don't know what to necessarily expect, despite the addition of Council, because last year they were up and down and kind of underperformed, but then overperformed, so not really sure there. And then I know nobody believes in the Pirates, but the Pirates had a nice April and a half last year. I mean, they were in the conversation for longer than they usually are, so, you know. I mean, the NL Central on paper might be the most exciting division just because it's the least predictable when you look at them across all of the divisions. It feels like, at least.
I will give you that, yes. But it's still, I don't see with the moves the Cubs have made, they're not going to win the division. I mean, I still think at the, you know, where we're sitting right now, I think the Reds are the team to beat with what they have pitching staff wise. And I'm not saying this as a homer because
sounds kind of homerish.
Well, of course it would, because you know, why the hell not? But if you know me, I tell like it is. And if the Reds were going to suck, I would tell you they're going to suck. But I think at this point in time, right now, with what the division looks like, no, I think the Reds are the best team top to bottom in the division. I mean, the Cubs, I would say, are second right now. Milwaukee, you know, trading, you know, Corbin Burns was a big whoa. You know, okay, you got Woodruff back. Whoop-de-doo. You still lost Corbin Burns. So, okay, they're, to me, third best. Cardinals, okay, yeah, they go out and sign all these free agent pitchers, but they're old as hell. So, what, I mean, at best, they're at best second place in that division, at best second. And if they're second in the division, then that means the rest of the division is an absolute train wreck. And the Pirates, honestly, the Pirates have made a bunch of really good moves, like solid moves. I mean, they're not going to win the division by any means, but, you know.
How dare you?
Well, I mean, I don't like the Pirates either.
Eliminating the Pirates in early March.
But here's again, I mean – I'm a huge Paul Skeens guy. Now, I say that because I've got, you know, I got a cousin who played, who pitches at Air Force right now and was friends with Paul Skeens. So I've got a little bit of a, you know, a little soft spot for Paul when he was at the Air Force Academy.
Hey,
but
hey, Chris, can you pick that up for me? you going to get that for me?
No, I'm good.
No? You're not going to pick up that name you just dropped?
No, I'm not going to.
Okay,
no,
cool.
I'm not going to.
Thanks.
I'm not going
to. Go ahead.
And no, I'm not. I refuse to do it.
All right, go for it.
I'll drop a couple more if I want to. But that's just kind of I just don't like the Pirates. I never have. It's Pittsburgh. I'm not a Pittsburgh. But from what they have done, though, I think they have done a good job in bringing in some solid players. So, again, what the Cubs have done with David Ross, you know, getting rid of him and bringing in Craig Counsell, yeah, it's going to – okay, a couple more wins. But – they haven't done enough, in my opinion, to, you know, to thrust themselves to the top of the division. That's just me, though.
All right. So we've talked a little bit about what's going on in the offseason. Can we talk briefly about the ominous news that's come out of Braves camp today with over the last few days? Acuña had to fly out to California because he may have injured his meniscus. Felt a tweak while playing in a rundown drill earlier in camp. And earlier this evening, we were supposed to hear something. And instead, we got the there will be no news announced today because of the time difference. We will be sure to let you know something tomorrow. And the only reason that I would think you would delay some type of news like that is because it is no good news. So I am at a panic level of about a 6 right about now because the season may be dicey before being it. Now, that being said, if we can have this happen, the timing is such that I would rather have it happen in March so that you can readjust and everything, get a replacement from somewhere. You're not going to replace Ronald Acuña, obviously,
but there's a chance to over the next month getting, and hopefully this is just a short-term thing, but for the love of God, Chris, I need there to be good news in the next 48 hours.
Well, if they're pushing it back, that's usually not a good sign. Now, you know, for your sake and for the sake of all of baseball, you obviously don't want a player of that caliber to be out for an extended period of time. That would be, you know, just awful. So that's not, you know, it's not ideal. It is kind of odd that they did push it back. But again, you know, like Steve Phillips always says on, you know, on the leadoff spot on MLB Network Radio, you know, when you hear that, it's usually not good. So, you know, you had mentioned that because I didn't hear that until you told me just, you know, before the show started. And, oof, man, that's rough. But, again, if it does happen, you know, something more serious to where he is going to be out an extended period of time, you've got a GM that's going to
I'm getting no sympathy in the chat, Ryan, saying, I wish my team was so stacked that I could be a 6 out of 10 panic level when the best player is hurt. Yeah, I realize that
Suck on that one, Scott.
I'm coming from a place of royalty when it's like, the first thought was, okay, so how do they fix this? Well, you just move Michael Harris from the number 9 hold the leadoff spot. So, all right, you have a natural leadoff spot replacement there. And, I mean, you know, they can cover right field. And then my second thought was, I mean, they did win the World Series without Ronald Acuna, so there's that. And with a much less stacked offensive team at the time. So it's not the worst thing. This probably takes him out of the 100-win conversation if he has to miss more than a couple weeks. But, you know, I mean, winning 100 games doesn't mean shit if you're not going to win the title like they've done the last 2 years. So I get it. Nobody's giving me any sympathy, but I'm looking at the big picture too. Baseball needs Ronald Acuña, damn it. So, you know, let's all hope for the best.
Dude, you're such an entitled ass. Like, that is just, I mean, come on. Like, that comment was perfect. Yeah, I wish I would, you know. God, 6 out of 10. Yeah. Like,
I'm getting thoughts and prayers from Mike.
There we go. See, Mike's got it. There we go. He's got you.
And Sarah telling me to check my privilege. Awesome.
Yes.
Oh, and Ryan Knight making sure that I don't kiss his ass. First of all, I said we might win less than 100 games. So that'd be a problem. I mean, you got a level of consistency. You got to make sure you get there.
Dude, you're like the Scott Boris of this podcast here, you ass. Like, just, you are unbelievable, man.
I haven't held out for money yet. If I was Scott Boris of this podcast, I wouldn't be on it. I'd still be waiting for my payday.
Well, so am I. I mean, this is, you know, we'll see how this plays out here, you know, after a couple episodes, whether we get canceled or not, like I said earlier. I mean, shit, we could, you know. We can end up being a Cody Bellinger, or we can end up being a Shohei Ohtani. Who knows? We'll see. With that being said, okay, next. What's the most overrated move we've seen so far? I swear to God, if you take this one, I'm gonna be pissed.
The most overrated move. Since Snell hasn't signed anywhere, it's kind of tough for me to think of who the most.
I'm not talking about overrated player. I'm just talking
right,
about
right. Yeah, overrated move.
Yeah. Oh, see, I got you thinking here.
Yeah, I don't think there's been anything that jumped out at me as, like, not impactful. I feel like most of the signings made sense to me. I mean,
not just the sign, it could be a trade as well.
Yeah.
You want me to go with mine?
I mean, you go first so that I don't steal yours, because I have an idea of which one it may be, but it's probably just coming from a total place of hate.
Yes and no. The Juan Soto trade.
Yep, okay.
Now, I'm not saying that as a guy who doesn't like the Yankees. I just think, and again, that's a great move because he's going to absolutely rake in Yankee Stadium. Hell, he's raking right now in spring training. But it seemed like the move to me, so much hype for it that it's like, to me, it's when it comes to the Yankees, it's just another Yankees deal. You see what I'm saying? Like, they're at the point where they're always going to be just the Yankees again, the evil empire. That they haven't been that way in a couple years, but it doesn't change the mentality of baseball fans towards Yankees. And I think, again, the Soto deal it's a great move. I'm not downplaying that at all. Soto is perfect for that lineup. I think the hype I'm looking at is just in terms of the hype, like, oh my God, it's not that big of a deal because it was expected. You see what I'm saying? Like, I think that's kind of where I'm coming from. Maybe I'm wrong with the way I'm explaining it, but it just seems to be too much for something that was, like I said, was expected to happen.
Well, I think it's not. The reason I would think it was overhyped is only because, me being the hater that I am, everybody wants to talk about how often or how dangerous that lineup is going to be with Soto and Judge batting, next to each other. And I'm like, how many games are we actually going to see those two together? I mean, I expect Soto to be out there for his usual 140 plus, but Mr. I got a hurt big toe and I'm going to have to manage it the rest of my career. Judge is injury prone. He was injury prone before he got hurt last season. I don't care that he stayed healthy when he hit 62. The man just can't stay healthy. And so I don't expect, now that he's made the announcement about the toe, that he's going to do anything differently than probably miss a you can jot it down for 30 to 40 games already. I do like that Ryan mentioned Sonny Gray, and I'll go a step further. That entire pitching staff that the Cardinals touted as being new and improved, including Sonny Gray and who else did they bring in there? They brought in what's his name from the Orioles. They signed basically three C-level pitchers.
Yeah.
And tried to present it as making improvements. Now, the Cardinals were awful last year, and the rotation was a big part of that. But I don't think that the improvements that they made in that rotation are going to equate to many more wins. In fact, I was shocked when the projections came out from, I don't know if it was Vegas or who they had for record-wise, and they had the Cardinals winning the damn division. I don't think there's any chance for that. Like, I got the Cardinals as the third best team, and that's if everything breaks correctly.
Exactly. And here's the thing, that rotation, the guys that they brought in are guys that
nobody else wanted.
Consistent. That's all they are. Like, right now, like you said, they're C level pitchers right now. I mean, they got Sonny Gray for 3 years, $75 million. Is Sonny Gray a $25 million a year pitcher? And I love Sonny Gray. I do. I love the dude. I think he is, I think he's a great pitcher, but to me, not for $25 million a year. Again, the guys that they brought in, it adds stability. Like, those guys are going to go out and pitch every fifth day. Like, they're not going to miss starts. But, if you go out there and you're pitching and you're, 10 and 12 on the year, what good is that? Still have a losing record, Exactly.
Matt pointing out that they signed three number threes in the rotation, which is not ideal. And a rotation exactly. That was already housing probably at best a three with Michaelis and a bunch of guys that had no business pitching otherwise. Like, if you're trying to be a winning team.
Yeah, that's – you can't – look your fan base in the eyes and say, you know what, this is what we're going to do to win this division. Go out and do those moves. It's sort of like, the same lines as the Boston Red Sox. We're going to go full throttle, and all they've done is sputter this entire offseason. It's the same situation, and it's crazy because St. Louis has done more, and that's a hell of a baseball city, and those fans deserve more than what they've gotten so far. Now, I say that as, somebody who – I don't like the Cardinals, but, damn it, I respect them. They do a phenomenal job. But to go out there and sign the talent that they did, it's not – again, they can't justify winning the division with that offseason. But maybe. Maybe I'm a huge dumbass. I don't know. But I ain't seeing it.
What?
I said, I'm not seeing them winning it.
You missed the part where I said cosign when you said maybe I'm a huge dumbass.
Oh, no, I didn't. I missed that part. Funny how that works.
Well, we talked about schemes and we talked about, you know, getting through the offseason, but how about the fact that when we've tried to watch some of these spring training games, or in the case of Skeens facing Holiday and the game itself featuring what, four number one picks from the last five drafts, because you had Adley Rutschman in there as well, and yet the game was not televised. Because why? Because MLB, that's why. So while you may not be able to watch your own team play for a bunch of dumb reasons during the regular season, when there's a chance to prop up the game and you have this small window that that baseball can showcase its premium talent, both current and incoming, total ball drop.
It's a huge ball drop. Total Whiskey Tango Foxtrot moment from MLB. Like, you can't tell me that you can't televise some of these games. There you go, Mike. I appreciate that.
Mike saying fuck the Cardinals fans.
I respect that. I respect that.
Most Reds fans are more.
Yeah, I respect that, Mike. Well done. But in terms of, you know, and we said it because, you know, I remember I sent you the text on the, you know, the other day with the Skeens versus Holiday matchup. Like, how can nobody watch that? And that was, you know, the negative, you know, press, you know, all over Twitter/X was, I mean, it was incredible. Everyone was pissed that nobody could watch that game unless you were literally in the stands. And I said, hell, had I known that, I got a father-in-law who lives down in, you know, Bradenton. I would have, had I known the matchup ahead of time, I'd have flown down there and been like, you know, quick day trip to watch it. Because that is, again, the amount of talent in that game with Henry Davis, he was the number one pick. You had Jackson Holiday, Adley Rutschman, Paul Skeens, and I want to say, oh crap, who was the Colton Cowser, I think, was in that as well. And he's a second rounder.
I was, but there were four.
Yeah.
Number ones.
Yeah. And it's,
I was going to say it was Adley, Skeens, Holiday, and there's one more that I can't remember.
Henry Davis.
That's right.
Yeah. And Henry Davis went yard in that game. And it's like, but that's just what puzzled me. And that was, Henry Davis went yard off of Corbin Burnes. But what a matchup that is. Corbin Burnes versus Paul Skeens. I mean, unbelievable. And again, you see preseason games in the NFL, NBA, NHL, why can't we watch them for Major League Baseball? That is, if you want to grow this game, and there's nothing like spring training. It is awesome. Just the laid back, you know, atmosphere. It's just awesome. And you're not going to sit there and show games for any teams, or, you know, I mean, obviously they do, but like the majority of your team's games, you're not going to show. And then you're not going to show a game that features four number one draft picks in it. I mean, that's just baffling to me. And for as much as I love Major League Baseball, it seems like they are one step forward, two, three, four steps back. And I don't get it. They can't get out of their own way.
Yeah, Matt pointing out that baseball is a sport that should be free to stream always. Too many games, let the people watch. Definitely spring training. It shouldn't be as hard as it is to get a camera on any of these games. Mike pointing out that Major League Baseball dropping the ball on something, shocker. It is a constant refrain when it comes to baseball promoting their game. And trying to, like, only baseball could take what was one of the most successful seasons that they've had in a while, just from a popularity standpoint, an attendance standpoint, and like kind of drop the ball with the offseason and the way things have gone since last season ended. Now, it's not entirely their fault. They don't control the owners and the teams and who signs what and how free agency goes, but you've got that stuff that happened with guys not signing. You've got the fact that, you know, the commissioner's out here saying that he's going to force more rule changes or would like to. And we just got off a season where there were a bunch of rule changes that everybody was in favor of. But it's like, man, hey, can we breathe first? Can we let these changes settle before we end a new one? And then Ryan bringing up the question that's, you know, seemingly been on everyone's mind this entire offseason. Is the Bally Sports thing fixed this year? What's the story with that? Basically, we still don't know. It looked like we were headed towards no more blackouts. Major League Baseball was going to reacquire the rights to all the teams, broadcasting rights within the next few years. But at least this small group of teams that's kind of in limbo, and we were going to be able to have no more blackout restrictions moving forward. But then there was a deal signed with who was it that ended up buying Bally out to stop the sale, which would have reverted the rights back to Major League Baseball. Basically, we're stuck in the same place we were before. There's going to be blackouts this season, and it may be a longer term thing, or we may find that there's more games on Apple Plus. End of the day, you're not going to be able to watch the games like we should, and it's a damn shame, because in your local market, there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to watch baseball as freely as you want to.
Well, from what I understand, it sounds like the Bally Sports stuff has been taken care of, but for this year, and that's from what I understand. Now, I could be completely off base on that, but what it sounded like from what I heard, that Bally had struck a deal to where they were able to make the payments, or partial, maybe not the full payments to some of these teams, but they're out of, you know, I don't want to say the bankruptcy part of it, but they're able to at least get through this year. But after that, it's all up in the air. To me, let Major League Baseball take over the rights, take over the streaming of it, and go from there. It's not hard. It's really not difficult. And
yeah, Mike mentioning that this is likely the last year that the Reds will be on Bally's. And it should be for a handful of other teams. I think Kansas City,
Texas, St. Louis.
Cleveland. Yeah. Atlanta's nearing the end of their deal with Bally's as well. They signed that deal with Bally's, and it's changed hands, I think, twice since then, but they made like a 20-year commitment for a TV deal, and it was horrible money, and they're just now about to end it, I think, in 26 or 27. So at least we'll be able to have, again, most of the league reverted back to the, or, you know, most of the teams reverted back to the control of the league. So hopefully, I'm optimistic by 2030 that all teams will be. And then my hope is that we'll be able to buy individual team views, and you won't have to pay for the entire thing. You can just watch all of your own team's games if you want to.
That's how it used to be, though.
But
well, I know they, because I got neighbors who are Yankees fans, and I know at one point they were able to buy just the Yankees package, but that was, I want to say, just a couple years ago, and they got rid of that. So I don't know if that's going to, you know, if they'll revert back to that. I mean, if they do, fine. It's awesome. But again, not showing all the games, it's unfortunate. And I don't understand.
Yeah, Mike pointing out that we can blame the Dodgers and the Yankees for why Major League Baseball hasn't already taken control, because they make too much and didn't want to share with other teams. Yeah, those big money local revenue contracts that some of these teams have has been kind of what screwed up the entire thing, you know, from the macro level, because those teams were never going to be a part of getting into any type of deal because they had their own thing. They were basically the Notre Dame of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees have YES Network. I want to say Dodgers, aren't they? I want to say AT&T. I can't remember, but they're so, like, their media rights are so huge that, I mean, and that it's obvious. I mean, it's a no-brainer for them, you know, in terms of their media package. But it just, it sucks because, again, those are the teams that are going to hold everybody else back. And it just, it's a damn shame because not being able to showcase some of these players on a nightly basis, it's, you want to grow, again, you want to grow the game, but you're holding yourself back. And that's unfortunate. And it makes no sense. Now, maybe the fact that we have Ohtani in Los Angeles, not an Angel, but a Dodger, because let's be real, the Dodgers are much bigger than the Angels are. That might help, you know, change things. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, you know, woefully optimistic on that because, yeah, maybe I just want to see, you know, these stars showcased like they should be. But Unfortunately, we haven't seen that yet from Major League, that commitment from Major League Baseball. When you've got Ohtani and Trout on the same team and they never made the playoffs, I mean, are you freaking kidding me?
Well, I mean, you know, you can't really blame Major League Baseball for that.
That's no, but it's like, it's problem. That just that kind of stuff, though, that you just, it's just, it's ridiculous. I mean, they didn't showcase them, and that's not, I mean, them not making the playoffs has nothing to do with Major League Baseball, but it's the fact they didn't showcase them like they could have.
That's fair.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, I agree with that. And before we wrap up, talk about kind of the offseason, there's one more topic that I just think we should touch upon. Matt Barr mentioning then the jersey fiasco, what the fuck baseball? And if you're unaware, Major League Baseball has spent the last couple of weeks dealing with the fact that their uniforms have changed. Nike changed the way that they made the uniforms and the material, trying to make it more breathable fabric. And Fanatics was the supplier of said jerseys. And instead of getting what people thought would be a welcome change in some aspects, we got the most unwelcome change of them all in see-through pants and weird font on the back of jerseys. So again, while MLB was able to capitalize on having a good season and gaining all the publicity from that, yet another downtrodden fiasco that was their own doing. And I gotta believe that at some point that this stuff was shown to the higher ups, the people that make the decisions, and either they just didn't give a shit and thought, well, whatever, it's the cheapest, you know, way of doing it. We already got our money, so who cares? Basically shut up and play to the players, or they never saw it, and that's just as egregious because they didn't take the time to for quality control.
That's a huge problem. Like, I just don't, it's just like you see how this has all played out and you just, all you can do is shake your head. I mean, you go from, you know, awesome uniforms. Granted, they were, you know, players were complaining that they weren't, you know, they were heavier, you know, yeah, performance wise. And I get that. You know, when you're playing on a hot ass day in the middle of St. Louis and, you know, in August, I get it. You know, you want a little bit more breathable jersey.
For sure.
Understandable. But then you go from that to these letters that are normal to, you know, micro. And then you got these pants that are see-through. You just, God love Major League Baseball. I mean, again, they just,
Biscuit saying they got the uniforms on Team
U. That's so true. It had to be where they came. I mean, it's just,
I was thinking, where they came. I was thinking Wish.
Yeah, it's exactly. But apparently, I had also read too that Fanatics has been making the uniforms for Major League Baseball since, I want to say, like, it was like 2007, which that seemed a bit extreme because I didn't think Fanatics was around that long, but apparently they were saying that Fanatics has been making jerseys for a long time already.
I didn't realize that because I thought Majestic was the last jersey provider, and I didn't think they had anything to do with
Fanatics. That's what I mean, like, in terms of, like, the
manufacturing.
Yeah, the manufacturing. Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. Like, I didn't realize that. Like,
yeah, I didn't either, and I just thought that was kind of their own. Yeah, I was a little stunned by when I read that, and I'm like, well, okay,
maybe. Mike has a conspiracy theory about the uniforms, though, saying okay, that the owners did it on purpose so that the players would try to include it in the next CBA and the owners could get the union to bend on something else.
Dude, now my mind's in a pretzel, man.
Jeez. I was just gonna say that. Damn. I hadn't thought about that, but that is something that baseball would do.
Oh, they totally would do it. 1000%. That would be totally in the cards, and I would get it. Oh, man. Man, Mike, dude, what are you doing? I'm all messed up now.
Matt saying that they got the money, the Temu money from the Super Bowl commercials was from MLB blood money.
Yeah, well. Yeah. And, I mean, it's funny because now you're seeing some players coming out and defending it. And like you were saying,
Nike athletes, though. Nike
athletes. They're towing the company line on that one. And then you got the other guys out there just blasting them, you know. It's going to get figured out. But then I read something today that the Kansas City Royals have normal lettering on their uniforms.
Oh, like, yeah.
They were allowed to.
Yeah, I'm so like, they made a deal with Nike that they didn't have to change the lettering, and they were able to keep the old style uniforms.
Good on Kansas City.
I have no idea what the conditions were or how they were able to
get teams the Royals, like, right? Hey, you know what? It's going to be those jerseys. They're going to carry them to an AL Central win. I respect it. Good for them.
It's a lot of faith you're placing in the AL Central Royals.
Really?
To get
it. Well, I mean, let's get to it. Like, you know, we're going to, over the next couple episodes, we'll break down, you know, the divisions coming up and everything like that. But let's be real, Scott. The AL Central sucks.
Yeah. It's.
I mean, come on.
Terrible.
Yeah. So, I mean, and the Royals have made the moves. It's that they could easily win that division.
Off season. Yeah.
Yeah. So don't tell me that. Don't sit there and dismiss the Kansas City Royals like that. We're not going to do that tonight.
That's fine.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Thank you.
What do you want to talk local baseball?
Yeah, let's do that. We'll touch on some little college ball here. We've got some programs in the, you know, in the tri-state area that play big-time baseball. You have Cincinnati in the Big 12. The Big 12 is one of the top conferences in all of college, you know, well, college sports. It's obviously a Power 5, but in terms of college baseball, the Big 12 is a premier conference. And then you have NKU, who plays in the Horizon League. NKU is no joke. Xavier in the Big East. Xavier continues to, you know, they will go and play the big dogs each and every week, and they will, you know, they'll shock some teams. Dayton in the A-10, they've made a couple, they made some waves earlier this year. And then you have Miami in the MAC. Miami's, you know, they've played some, you know, some big name teams so far. But just quickly, I mean, you know, in this tri-state baseball report here, I'm kind of going to talk, you know, a little college ball real quick. And then also when the high school season starts up, talk a little high school baseball. Before that season starts, again, if you get a chance to check out some high school baseball, do it. There is a lot of elite talent in this area that are, you know, some of this talent is most likely going to be drafted in this year's draft and even in the 2025 draft. And you got some dudes that are going to be going to play high-level D1 baseball, you know, next year and the year after that. So make sure you check it out. But in terms of some college ball here, the Cincinnati Bearcats, first year in the Big 12. They are 7-5 right now. They are coming off of a series against Northern Illinois where they took 3 of 4 at home in Cincinnati. UC has, you know, in terms of the season so far, they've played Jacksonville, which, you know, they lost two of those games. They've played NKU. They played Ball State, Illinois, Xavier, Oakland. Their schedule so far hasn't been too strong. They did play Coastal Carolina. That is a team that I'm a huge fan of. And Coastal absolutely walloped them 25-2, and that was in Conway, South Carolina. But UC right now, 7-5. They do play Akron midweek in Cincinnati before they head to Manhattan, Kansas to take on Kansas State in their first Big 12 series. So that is one to watch as well. NKU on the Horizon League, like I said, they're 4-7. They have played Tennessee Martin. They've played Georgia, Morehead State, Cincinnati. But they made history this past weekend. They took 2 of 3 from Missouri from the SEC. That's the first time they have ever taken a series against a Power 5 team. And they did it on the road in Columbia, which is awesome. And NKU, my alma mater, so I'm going to be a little pumped up about that. They continue to do a good job, you know, in what we've seen so far from them. They did go on the road and lose 3 straight to Georgia. Georgia is a great, you know, they're a great team in the SEC as well. But then going and rebounding and taking 2 of 3 from Missouri is awesome. So congrats to the Norse for that. Xavier, again, like I said, they're a team that they don't care. They will play anybody, anytime.
You goddamn right we will.
Hey, you watch your mouth, man. You watch your mouth.
Hey, I'm just here to cheer on X.
That's, you know, this is a local segment. I got to be nice, even though I'm not a Xavier guy. But Xavier started off the season taking on 10th-ranked Clemson. Clemson is, you know, they are a solid program in the ACC. They did lose all three to start. But then they went on the road and faced Louisville. You know, Louisville is a premier program in the ACC and beat them 9-1. Good on Xavier. Again, like I said, they will play anybody anytime. They did, they took 2 or 3 from Lipscomb. Then they beat UC in a crazy back and forth game. That was at Xavier. That was an incredible game. If you get a chance, go watch that. You can watch that on ESPN Plus. That was from Tuesday the 27th. So that's an entertaining baseball game. They just went to Fort Myers and took on Florida Gulf Coast, where they took 2 of 3 in that series. But then now they face midweek Louisiana Tech, a team that is undefeated, I believe. Louisiana Tech is coming off of a tournament win this past weekend. I want to say it was the Battle at the Ballpark tournament. Louisiana Tech is no joke, and Xavier's got them for 2. Before heading to LSU this weekend to take on the LSU Tigers, the defending national champions from Alex Box Stadium. That is going to be that series is going to be all on ESPN Plus this weekend and SEC Plus, I think, as well. So that is a series that you don't want to miss either.
Matt wants to know who wins, a college all-star team using metal bats or the worst team in Major League Baseball.
Oh, man.
Unlike the college versus NFL, you know, worst team in NFL beating or, you know, losing to Alabama, I think this question actually has merit. Like, this could actually be an interesting matchup if you had the very worst team. But I don't know. I mean, most major league pitching is so good that even the best major league or the best college hitters, unless they were all on one team and all having their very best day, like, I don't even know how that would stack up, but I would love to see that matchup.
That would be awesome. You know, and I love Miami and Dayton. Good on you guys, but I'll touch on you guys next week because I'm more intrigued with this question than what I am with, you know, with those two teams. Man, that is a
– Dayton, you're good.
What's that?
I said nobody gives a shit about Dayton. You're good.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I don't really care either. I'll give Miami because I do like Miami, but all-star. Oh man, there's some, like I said, there's some dudes. I mean, like last year, I mean, Dylan Cruz from LSU, dude, he can step in right now. I mean, there's a good chance you might see him, you know, this year with Washington. You've got guys like Wyatt Langford, who is now with Texas. You'll see Wyatt Langford this year for the Rangers. Then you've got, I mean, some of the pitching staff. Luke Holman this year with LSU is now their ace. Luke Holman taking over almost has identical stats as Paul Skeens did last year through the first couple games or first couple starts, I should say. Man, that's a good question. This, like you were saying with the NFL, I mean, there's no comparison there. You can't do it. But with baseball, you might see something there. That, man, that's a
– especially with college kids still being able to play with metal bats.
Yeah, and the talent-wise, too. I mean, like I said, there's some pitchers out there. Ooh. I mean, some of these college pitchers, like I said, can flat-out deal. You know, Hagen Smith from Arkansas, he just struck out 17 against Oregon State. It was last weekend, I want to say. Guys like that, like I said, Luke Holman – Trey Yusevich from East Carolina. Dude, there's some dudes out there that can chuck it. And there's some dudes out there. Tommy Tanks can hit with LSU. I mean, oh man. That's a good one. Major League Baseball, yeah, they might win that one, but that's gonna be a lot closer than what you would think. That's a good one. That's a great question. I like that. Man, I like that. Well, Scott, you want to move on to one of the most amazing teams that we've seen coming out, like in terms of, branding and everything like that?
Absolutely, because Mike and I have always discussed whenever we've had the opportunity how amazing minor league baseball hats are and minor league branding. They do it better than just about anybody else in the sporting game. Talk about the most recent find that you were able to acquire.
Yes. This team is the Danville Dairy Daddies. They play, I got to look it up here real quick. I want to say it's in the, they play in a league in Virginia. I want to say, I want to make sure I give them the right credit here. Let's see. Oh, I just had it up. Danville Dairy Daddies. Yeah, they're in the Old North State League this summer. They play on the Field of Creams. The Field of Creams. And it is literally, they are the second team of the Danville Otterbots. So they are, it appears to me it's a summer college team. And they have rebranded. You'll see a lot of like college teams will do. Yes. Bam. That is McCreamy. That is their mascot. And that is unbelievable. I mean,
so for those of you listening, it just popped up a picture of the Danville Dairy Daddies. I think it released a pink hat or a pink brimmed hat rather, but with a cow logo. It is fantastic. Again, minor league baseball at its finest.
If you get a chance, literally go on their Twitter account and I mean, just scroll through it. You are in for just an abundance of entertainment. I mean, they had one yesterday with it being Sunday, obviously the day of our Lord. Forgive me. I can't say this without laughing. Forgive me, Father, for I have skimmed. Hashtag get milked. It is unbelievable. I mean,
Mike saying that is utterly amazing.
I mean, the people responding to it, it's amazing. Like, you know, peace be with you. Like, I mean, it's just, it's awesome. And, you know, minor league teams, like you were saying, Scott, you and Mike have discussed it before. There's nothing better than a minor league team. And even minor league hockey does a great job as well. But the way they brand their teams, nothing short of incredible. And this one, and I mean, their merchandise line is, it goes by how creamy are you? It goes from skim to 1%. 2%, and what is it? I can't read that. Let's see. Yeah, okay. Whole, creamy, which is double XL, and then extra creamy, which is a triple X. I mean, you can't put this together any better. And I went on to try and get a hat, and they sold out literally. When I first noticed it, and I text you, and I was like, man, I'm going to have to get me a hat. I went on to get it, sold out. And I was like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. All I wanted was a Danville Dairy Daddy's hat. And then I went back on the next morning, and there were a couple available. And I was like, bam. So I ended up getting a trucker hat, which is on its way. So
hopefully by next show,
yeah, I will be rocking a Danville Dairy Daddy's trucker cap, because they might be up there as one of my favorite teams ever.
Matt bringing up that where he's at in D.C., just outside of D.C. in Richmond, the Flying Squirrels have two mascots. There's one male, Nutsy, and a female, Natasha. And he couldn't make that up if he tried. Again, minor league baseball is amazing when it comes to marketing their teams and trying to get publicity any way they can. They do a great job of it.
Oh, they do. And this one, like I said, this one has taken the baseball world by storm. And their hashtag is get milked. And I mean, it's awesome. And there was one they were showing, I want to say it was Cade Stover. So the tight end of from Ohio State. There was a tweet from Barstool, and it was NFL draft prospect tight end Cade Stover massages cows to strengthen his hands. Well, naturally, Danville gets a hold of that and says, Cade might be taking hashtag get milked a a little too far. And I'm like whoever their social media, you know, person is, that person needs a raise. And whoever thought of this brand, I mean, you are legendary. See what I did there? Legendary. Yes. Wow. Honestly, I did not mean to do that, but it worked out.
Well, before we wrap things up, Mike wants to know, what's better, the minor league mascots or the minor league promotion nights? I'm going to go with mascots because, again, they change so frequently. They do special editions of these mascots where they only change for a certain amount of time. The logos, anytime there's an angry, inanimate object that becomes some type of logo for a baseball team, it's awesome. So while the promotional nights are fun, I think the everlasting special edition or short-term rebranding of some of these teams is cream of the crop. See what I did there?
Oh, just piss right off. I mean, God, this is going to be, oh, damn it. Like, oh, I don't know if I really want to do this show anymore. This is going to be a long.
Well, that's a perfect, I think that's a perfect way to end it.
Then. It is. Yeah, that is. No, in all seriousness, this was awesome, Scott. I'm so glad we're doing this. This is going to be, because we're only going to get better. And that's saying something, like I said, you know.
I was going to say, there'll be plenty more fun to be had to get our feet wet and get past the offseason once we get into actual games being played and stories being told for the weeks of baseball and we get out of non-televised spring training. We'll hit our stride and be ready to roll.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. So, yeah, that'll wrap it up, this lovely debut episode of Backwards K Baseball. Again, truly appreciate you guys. Make sure you follow us on Backwards K B-Ball. That's on Instagram and X. I'm trying to think. You can follow me on X at I am Chris Asbrock or at IS Cincy. Other than that, Scott, where can people find you? The people that don't know you, that is.
Yeah, I was going to say, the people that don't know, I'm on Craft Brewed Sports. You can follow us on Twitter at Craft B Sports. You can find us wherever you find all your fine podcasts, YouTube, Facebook, everything. We got a great group going on the Facebook group. Join that. We talk anything and everything. But if you want to talk baseball, you can always reach out to either one of us anytime. Love to talk baseball, here to talk baseball, and that's what we're going to do from here on out.
Heck yeah. It's something I was thinking too. We might even do some Twitter spaces or whatever. You know, that might be something to look into. So that way, you know, get more, you know, audience participation.
Possibly. On off days when we're not recording and on Mondays.
Yeah, just kind of something happens, do something like that. And, but we're looking to get some guests on here as well, you know, get some, get some good quality content. So, again, thank you guys so much.
That aren't ours.
Well, that's, yeah, because obviously I got a face for radio. So, I apologize for everyone who had to watch it, but it is what it is.
Speak for yourself, my friend. Speak for yourself.
Yeah, you entitled ass again. Exactly.
Man. Shoot for 100 wins, my man. Shooting for 100 wins.
Love it. Well, Scott, thanks, my man. I appreciate it. It was awesome. This was so much fun.
Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you tuning in. This has been Backwards K Baseball. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you again next week. For Chris, I'm Scott. We'll see you.
See you.